Hello and welcome to the new season of the Honey Kids Asia podcast, bringing you the parenting playbook. My name's Jaz and I'm a mum of two toddlers and the editor at Honey Kids Asia. We're excited to kick off the season with engaging discussions and expert guests who will help us navigate the ups and downs of modern parenting. In today's episode, we're exploring the topic of balancing encouragement and tiger parenting, the role of parents in helping kids excel. For this discussion, I'll be joined by Dr. Christina Wong, founder of 10X Study Academy, a platform that has helped students all over the world study better and smarter to become happier in school. Enjoy! Hi everyone, welcome back to our Honey Kids Instagram Live Parenting Playbook. We are actually talking about a topic that might appeal to many, many parents out there who are planning ahead for the new year. So today's topic is about balancing encouragement and tiger parenting, role of parents in helping kids excel. So in this topic, we're going to talk about how we are going to try our best to encourage our kids without being overbearing and giving them the space and the support that they need in order to succeed. I'm going to invite our guest, Dr. Christina Wong, who is a founder of a platform called 10X Study that actually has helped thousands of students in Singapore and internationally to study better and give them the tools that they need. Yeah. So let's just talk about our topic for today. We are talking about balancing encouragement and tiger parenting. So you know how the academic scene in Singapore can be quite competitive and how, you know, tiger parenting is a very big thing here. It's all about, you know, we really want our kids to excel and succeed, but then sometimes certain families go beyond the limit and we end up packing too much into our kids' schedules, or we unintentionally cause burnout to kids from such a young age. But all we want really is just for them to enjoy studying and make them like a part of life so that they can succeed in the future. So today we're discussing how we can be encouraging and teach our kids behind the why of the study so that we can support them better in the new year. So as I said, Dr. Christina, who has joined us today, is a doctor, and she's also the founder of 10X Study, which is a platform that's helped thousands and thousands of students, both locally and internationally, to study better and perform better in school as well. And they've become a lot happier in their studies and have experienced a much more improved overall well-being. So Dr. Christina, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, your connection to Singapore, your practice in your medical side, and also how you actually found 10X Study, that would be amazing.
Okay, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll keep it short. So I'm originally from Hong Kong. Their study scene in Hong Kong is very similar to Singapore. It's both very stressful and very like academic focus. I then moved to the UK to study, to continue my study, and that's where I did my high school and medical school. And I stayed in the UK to work there. I went to Imperial College London to study. While I was like working in the UK, I was also teaching at King's College London. I also have been on interview panel for Imperial College London Medical School. So because of that, a lot of people started come to me to ask me how to get into medicine. And I started helping students like to get into medical school. And then a few students like reach out to me. They were like, oh, I really want to study medicine, but I don't have the grades for it. And to me, I was just like, oh, studying is fun and really easy. It hasn't always been like that for me. So actually, I have been a really bad student in the sense that I failed 7 subjects in a year and I almost got kicked out of school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when students like tell me they struggle to study, I really understand because I feel that pain. And then I think I was very lucky to actually learn how to study at a very early age. They are actually like methods and in a way formulas to like study success. So I started teaching those students how to study so that a student went from like predicted all C's to within a year, and then he got into medical school with straight A's.
Oh my gosh. And these are students from the university that you were attending and they were just asking you for advice.
Oh, they were like younger students. Like, I don't know, like at the moment you got into med school, like you get random aunties, kids, and they're like, oh, can you teach me? Everyone refer a few students. So at one point I just had so many students. I initially started to help students to get into medical school, right? okay, so like this kid got 3 C's to like straight A's, 4 A's actually. And then his friend found out, like his junior was like, oh my God, can you teach me how to study? I actually want to get into law. But how did you help my friend improve so much? So I started helping like non-medical students as well. But to me, like, you know, there is a foundation of studying. So at one point, I just got so overwhelmed because there were so many students asking for my help, but I just don't have enough time. I was practicing as a doctor. So what I did was that I recorded a list of contents, which I think is the foundation of studying, and give the student to watch. I was just like, okay, why not you guys watch it first and then see how it helps you? And then I would step in to help you more if you need more help when you could ask me questions. And then those like videos got spread around really quickly. And then around that time, my husband was just, oh, why not we make it an online course? So I just recorded a 30-second video. And then that videos and got actually like more than 100 million of views.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Was this on, which platform was this on? Instagram?
It was on Facebook actually.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Okay.
So, and then because of that, a lot of people from all over the world, like more than 10,000 people signed up for the course. So that's how 10x study started. It was just from helping a few aunties' kid to like blow up into like more than 10,000 students.
Yeah, that's an amazing success story, I think, especially because like it was something that you personally went through yourself. And then after that, you helped like peers and younger students at that time and then somehow managed to adapt that to be a lot more general and generic, that even people who weren't studying medicine, who weren't studying law, basically any other student that in the world of academics and studying could actually use that. So that's so cool. I think one of the biggest challenges that parents have usually, especially when their kids go into schooling and they realize like, oh my gosh, okay, everything is so different from preschool compared to like primary school now or like even high school, right? And sometimes it's so difficult to just get the engine going for having that willingness to study and learn. So I guess we can talk a little bit about the reasons behind why some children they seem so unwilling. You know, like I'm pretty sure you get a lot of parents who come in and say like, how do I encourage my children? Like they don't even want to like sit down and look at their books or like revise, you know, which is like a big term here in Singapore as well. Like how would you explain that?
Yeah, so we actually do get a lot of those students, and they're mainly from, I think quite a lot from Singapore, from Hong Kong, and actually all over the world. One of the things they have in common is that they're all under a lot of pressure. So even though they're not studying hard, they are already under a lot of pressure. And that's actually the biggest measure that stopped them from wanting to study. Okay, I always use the gaming examples, right? Some parents would be like, oh, my kids would game anytime. They could game like 8-10 hours a day. But then when it comes to studying, they will like fall asleep within the 10 minutes or they were reluctant to study. I'm like, great, if your kids love to game, it means that he is a competitive person and he cares about progress. We just got to translate that into his studying. So like we got to gamify the studying system. So when you take a step back and discuss with the parents, you know, what do you think that makes your kids like gaming? So, and it often is like they feel successful when they're gaming. They get like little achievements, you know, they do this difficult task and then they get like this imaginary coins or points. And they get really happy.
Right. The instant gratification. Yeah. The instant gratification of like completing a small task, even though it's just like, you know, it doesn't really matter in real life, but it's still an achievement regardless.
Exactly. And a lot of parents have this misconception that kids like to give up when things get difficult. But if you look at gaming, it's completely not true. If a game is really easy, no one will want to play it.
Yeah.
But students actually like challenges. But why is it that like, okay, students could like gaming, like other things so much, but don't like studying? What went wrong? One of the main reasons is parents put a lot of emphasis on results and a lot of pressure on studying. You know, your studying session should look like 2-hour session, 3 hours. Like you shouldn't move. You should just sit in front of your table. And sometimes like they give the kids so much stress, like every time a kid's got a wrong answer, they're like, how could you get this wrong, right? So it's like asking a person walking near a cliff, do you think you could focus? do you think you would enjoy it? So human has like a fight or flight mode when they get nervous, right? And that is a time that our brain completely shut off. It doesn't retain memory. It doesn't have all its cognitive function. All it think about is run and like a lot of stress response from the shooter. So like they always study under that kind of environment. So actually it's not that they don't enjoy studying. We find a lot of kids actually love studying. If you tell them new cool stuff, all kids are like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like you could just try telling them a science fact. Like they love it. And they love learning, like, because it gives them a sense of achievement. But often, before they get the sense of achievement, they already get beaten down from doing things wrong. So I think that's why a lot of kids end up hating studying or even having a fear of studying. I remember, like, one of the first kids that I've ever spoken to, his mom was, like, really struggling. And he said, it's the other day really saddened me. The mom said that, my kids ask, you know, what if I try and don't get A's? So actually, a lot of kids has this internal fear that, you know, if I don't try, it doesn't mean I'm stupid. If I try and didn't get it, it means I'm completely stupid. And because like parents often link like smart to studying, and I went through that myself. But then within a year with implementing the study techniques, and training like a success mindset, his kids like got straight A's. I remember speaking to kids for the first time. I'm like, okay, how would you feel if you get A's? He was just like, that would never happen. I was just like, okay, how would it feel if you get B's?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true though. It's like it's the immediate like, or calling yourself out or like shutting down even before trying. Oh my God. I can totally see myself saying something like that.
Actually, it's like not uncommon in kids. I'm just like, okay, like, you know, sometimes like you want to give people hope. So I discuss with the kids, how would you feel if you get all A's or one A? They were like, no, it would never happen. I would never get A's. And okay, then I was just like, what if you get one B? And then he was just, okay, then my dad would be happier, you know, and I would be very proud of myself. And then he could only accept that he'll only ever get one B and not more than that. But actually, like, his exam at the end of the year, he almost got all A's.
Oh!
Like, only B in two subjects. And now, like, a year later, his mom is like, what do you think you get in exam? And he was like, why would I not get straight A's?
Oh, wow. Okay, you can really see the confidence there.
Yeah. But actually, I remember that time I did a lot of... And that was an interesting time, because that time I didn't actually directly coach the kid. I didn't actually coach the kid. I only coached the mom.
Mm.
So the mom was doing something different. And the kids was like seeing all the results.
Oh, great.
Like within a really short period of time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think it's a true testament to, like you said, the success mindset. You know, like completely changing that whole like, no, I'll never get there. But then... turning it into like, what if you do, right? So how would you describe this success mindset? Like, what's usually the first step that you take when it comes to encouraging the students that are in your program on how to change the way they think about their studies?
Okay, so like, I think one thing that really helps is that like, we have a lot of student success story. There's nothing more powerful when another student comes to them and be like, oh, actually, I got my results was worse than you, but I'm getting straight A's now. I think that gives them the first step of confidence that, oh, maybe I can do it too. And with that, we pair it up with study techniques so they could actually see the improvements. They'll be like, oh, actually, I can sit down and study and I know what I've learned. Giving them a structure to studying, because I think a lot of students, when they study, I think most students don't know how to study. And if I ask, probably most parents don't know how to study either.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a completely different time also when we were growing up. It was a lot of like memorization. Even like the algebra was different last time. Now the kids are using calculators for like all kinds of things, but also different methods and all that also. So I think as parents, it's so difficult for us to relate also because the way they learn things was so different from the way we did it last time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't blame them, like, because a lot of research about how to study, how to retain memory, has only been done in the last like 10, 20 years. And normal people wouldn't go and look up research results. A lot of people just wouldn't know, like, there are actually a lot of research done in this to, like, teach people, like, you know, how could you, like, be more efficient? How could you learn faster? How could you remember more? There are actually a lot of, like, evidence-based science around it now. So when we teach the kids, like, I always say, like, you know, study techniques and success mindset is like two wings of an eagle. You kind of need them to grow together at the same time. The idea is that we'll get them into, like, a positive loop. They would have a little bit of confidence because they've seen other people's success story. They see someone like them and who could do it. And then the next thing is they try to study techniques and they're like, okay, it works. And then they are like, become a bit more confident. And then they practice more of the study techniques, get more confidence, and then they just keep growing. Yeah.
It's a domino effect. Yeah. It's like the moment you start off on a strong footing, you just keep going. You just keep, you know, even if you don't see the results immediately, it's an immediate like, okay, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And there's like a bit of a achievement bit by bit, right? It's not immediate. It's not overnight. I love that. Like one of the, I think you did share before also about how one of the biggest things is that kids cannot sit down for 2 to 3 hours just purely studying. I mean, if we're being honest, we cannot sit down for 2 to 3 hours just purely doing work. Like there's a reason why focus time exists, right? So what would you say is one of the most effective techniques when it comes to, let's say, either studying or even like doing homework? Like what would you say would be a recommended method?
Actually, it's quite funny because like when we did one of our like yearly ceremony this year, a lot of parents came to me, be like, oh, I also learned the techniques. It helped me improve a lot at work. So like it like works for everyone. So one of the really easy one I could share is Pomodoro techniques. When I often hear students say, oh, I study like 5 hours at night. How come my results are still not good? The moment I heard that, I'm like, red flag, you must be doing it wrong. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know how long like an average person could focus for each time?
For me and my ADHD brain, I would say maybe about 10 minutes.
But actually, that's around the average.
Oh, wow. Okay.
10 to 16 minutes. That's actually the average. You know, when you're so like deep into the zone and doing things. Pomodoro techniques like make use of our like human brain nature. Well, think about it. Back in the days, our ancestors, they are like hunters. They're in the wild. They constantly have to like be observant of the surrounding. They can't just focus on what they're doing. So we are not developed to be able to sit at a desk for 5 hours and not get distracted. Because back in the days, we would have been killed like long ago.
Right.
So like the survival gene is that you have to break out sometimes after a short period of focus. And I guess like people back in the days, like before using cell phone, they actually have a longer period of focus time because they're used to that system, like the training system. But now it's like really 10 to 16 minutes. So what we make use of is a technique called Pomodoro techniques.
Mm.
Pomodoro actually means like tomato in Italian. Have you ever seen so like a kitchen clock that you turn to like 10, 15 minutes and then it'll ring a bell at the end of it?
Yeah.
So that was the idea. An Italian guy found out that he's most focused when he does like short batches of work. For example, like he'll work for 15 minutes and then he'll stop, rest for a little bit, and then he'll go back to working again. But actually, some people say that it didn't work for them. And that's because there are two things that people get it wrong when it comes to Pomodoro techniques. So when it comes to Pomodoro techniques, like it's really important that you set a goal at the beginning of the session and then you reveal the goal at the end of the session. And what you do during the break is also very important. So actually when we study, that's an efficiency. I'm sure like that's a work efficiency for you as well, right? When you first started working, you're a bit more distracted. But as you work more and more, you get more and more focused and you kind of get more in the zone. So like this sounds a little bit contradictory to Pomodoro techniques. Like you're telling me I need to focus for longer, but then you're telling me I need to stop once in a while. So that's why I mean like, what you do during your break is so important. So like, let's say my study hour, I'm actually still planning to work for 2 hours, but every 15 minutes, I would have a break and I would like review what I've done. Have I set a goal? It keeps me on the track, because there has been times that you're working in the song, but you're like completely off track. And what you do during like the 5 minutes rest is really resting. So you don't use your phone. You don't go and chat to random people. Instead, you go and get a cup of water. Instead, you go and like maybe meditate for 5 minutes. You go to the bathroom. That actually like keep you in a focused mind, but it also refresh you. And that way you could work a lot longer. Yeah, and keep you in the song for a lot longer. So when people tell me, oh, Pomodoro techniques doesn't work for me, it's usually because they haven't done this like two crucial things.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I feel like, yes, if we do it for only 10 minutes and then after that we take a break, but then our immediate reaction is pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone, yeah.
Start scrolling and then you get into a rabbit hole and then you're like, oops. Like my beyond 5 minutes is up and I've already done God knows what. But you, like your brain wasn't resting during that time.
The 5 minutes you're on.
Exactly. Or like watching a video, laughing to yourself, and then it's like, oops, I just realized that like I should have been resting the entire time. Wow. Okay. I think, yeah, when it comes to children, what do you think is the best recommendation? Like, you know, okay, 10 minutes of either homework or studying time. And then for the 5 minutes, because, you know, they could also be very close to their phone or whatever, and then they can also just easily pick it up. What would you say are the better alternatives for making them maximize that 5 minute window?
Oh, okay. So like, we will first explain why phone is bad for them. We actually have a graph and we use like some scientific data. And when they find out, they're also shocked. So like most of our students, once they start studying, they actually agree to put their phone away for like 2 hours and don't touch it. Yeah. So I think that's a very important first step. You need to understand why using the phone is so detrimental. It could actually like reset your hard work for the first 10 minutes because it takes time to get into the zone. But once you use the phone, you go back to the first place and then your efficiency becomes very low. So like our student normally would agree to like not use the phone during the entire time that they are studying.
Then instead, what do they usually do instead?
Okay, I think the few things I mentioned, like drink water, meditate, go out for a stretch. Like we encourage like some small exercise as well. Because when you sit down for too long, sometimes like your blood circulation to your brain isn't as efficient. So like you could just do a few like star jumps. Yeah. And that really helps to wake your brain up.
I definitely remember doing a lot of that when I was like in the throes of studying for like a big exam, because it's just, you get so sleepy doing something that you don't really love, right? And then after you just end up like, okay, then the moment you get some blood pumping, you're like, okay, I'm back in the zone. I love
yeah.
it. Nice. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, kickstarting that drive for kids in order to get them in a bit of a zone to actually enjoy studying and all that, right? What if all of that doesn't work? What is another way that you get kids to look forward to reaching like a bigger end goal? Because I remember you mentioning something about how besides focusing on results and also encouraging them to actually enjoy studying, there's also the opportunity to give them a bit more context as to the kind of jobs available in the future, which I think is really cool. So if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, I think like as human, we naturally look forward to the future. I'm sure like you kind of have a plan of where you want to be in the future and you're working towards that. But actually for kids, that idea is very foreign. Like they keep getting told like results is very important. What grades you get is really important. But to them, that is no significant of like getting an A or B. Like they don't understand why it's so important. And then parents would be like, oh, without that, you can't find a good job and stuff. And then kids would be like, I don't understand what a good job is. I think even as adult, like it took us like a few years of working to understand what we need and what we like. And you're talking to like a 6, 7, 10 years old who have never worked a day in their life. You're like, you need a good job. That's why you need to study. It's like telling someone, I don't know, someone who have never exposed to the internet, be like, you need to get famous on TikTok. They're like, when's TikTok?
Yeah. You skip so many steps to get to that point and it doesn't even mean much to them. Yeah, that's true.
Actually, the reason most kids study is actually just to please the parents. And then, like, I often remind parents, actually, like, kids love you more than you think and more than you realize. They're actually willing to go through, like, a lot of hardship just to make you happy. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, we have to understand also for children, like, their family, is their whole little bubble, their whole little world,
yeah.
Right? So, like, in being able to please their parents is exactly their entire world. Like, they want to be able to get that satisfaction. Yeah.
And that's how most children, like, study. Like, they want to please their parents. But sometimes, like, they see their parents, like, get angry over their studying. So they develop this, like, hate and fear relationship with studying. In school, there's always, like, one or two kids who study really hard and, like, nothing, like, could stop them, like, nothing could distract them, and they will always be, like, studying. And usually it's because they know what they want to do in the future. Let's say, like, in med school, one of, like, our top scholar, he had a very sad background story. His dad actually died of cancer, and that's why he wanted to be a doctor. His dad died, like, when he was 10 or something, like, really young. So since then, he was, like, studying really, really hard all the way, like, into uni. Even in uni, like, he was studying really hard. So, yeah, because he really wanted to become the top oncologist.
Wow, yeah. So he used his own personal trauma to actually turn that into a driving force for him to do well in school, yeah, in order to get that job in the future.
I'm not telling parents that you need to create any personal trauma for your kids. Please don't be let that be the takeaway.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Yes. I mean, do not create.
I'm just, like, using this example to show that actually when someone has a goal, they are willing to go a lot further. And, like, the obstacle doesn't matter so much when you have something to focus on.
Yeah.
What we do is that we explore, like, children from a really young age to, like, what the world could be. What kind of job that they could do, what kind of skills that they have. So we do it by two ways. We do it by, like, increasing, like, the kids' confidence, like, finding out their strength. So they're like, oh, actually, I'm really good at communicating. Or they find out, I don't really like to face people. I like numbers. I like physics. I like knowing how things work. That would be like, okay, like, you know, these are the list of jobs that you could, like, that would fit you for those skills. And then we'll also, like, introduce, like, people from different career background to, like, kind of give a talk to kids. So, for example, one of the kids, like, wanted to be a pilot. So we invited, like, a pilot from Singapore Airlines to, like, talk to the group of kids. And actually, all kids end up getting very inspired. I'm not saying, like, they all want to be pilot afterwards. But they all are like, oh, it's so cool to have a dream. Like, it's, you know, like, working can be so cool. Maybe I should find out earlier so that I don't limit my option in the future. So we always tell the kids, like, you know, studying, people ask, like, you know, why should I study? And then one of the answers we give is studying, like, getting good grades can give you a lot of option to choose what you like in the future. You could be the first to choose what you like. You don't have to pick the leftover what other people don't want.
Yeah, it gives them more freedom to explore what's out there in the future. I think that's the amazing part. And not just the typical, you know, we grew up knowing only about doctors, lawyers, firefighters, police, you know? But there are so many jobs out there. You can become, like, all kinds of amazing jobs that did not even exist maybe 10 years ago. Things like content creators, social media managers, you know, things like that, which I think all the kids now are even more exposed to because of social media as well.
But actually, it's quite funny because, you know, I run Tanic Study Academy, but actually we don't really, I personally don't really care about grades. I really care about, like, whether the student know how to study. Because I think that is a life skill that could be translated into everything. It's just that in the process of teaching them how to study, their grades all go up as a byproduct of, like, knowing how to study. But what is very important to me is, like, how happy they are. Actually, like, I also have a point that I want to put out is that parents think, like, you know, kids should work hard and they could enjoy things in the future. That's actually completely not true. If you never learn how to be happy as a kid, you wouldn't know how to be happy as an adult.
So I think this is like a very important lesson because I know a lot of kids who I went to a top university. So I have a lot of kids who have tiger parents, got pushed all the way to like a top university, getting like a really good job, but they're actually really unhappy and depressed inside. And they have everything that the world thinks they want, but they are not happy. And frankly, I think they just haven't learned how to be happy.
Mm.
And I think like learning how to learn and learning how to be happy are like really like important in your childhood.
Yeah. Finding the joy in, you know, anything it is that you're doing, even if you, yeah, like you said, sometimes people can be super smart and then after study all the way until university and they'll still be very unhappy. So it's just all about finding the joy in the little things as well and enjoying every moment while they're going through it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I never thought about that. I think when I was in school, I did a lot of reading and stuff, which really helped me with just comprehension in general in school. So I was one of those kids that didn't do that great, but I didn't do that badly either. So it was a win. It was a win for my parents. They were like, oh, okay, you get to go to secondary school. That's good. And then when I went to polytechnic myself after graduating from secondary school, I almost did the typical route of like going to junior college and then going to university. And my goal for that was really just so that I can tell people I went to university. But I didn't realize that the availability of all the other kinds of routes and jobs out there. I ended up finding a design course that I really enjoyed. And even though it was a very difficult few years in school because of how tough the course was, like I ended up making so many great friends. I really enjoyed my time there. And yeah, I found a lot of joy in actually being in that space, even though it was really stressful. I still look back on it very fondly. So I think, you know, that's a lesson for the students out there also who think that just going to university is the end goal. Yeah.
I think it's interesting because like if you think back to a lot of your happiest time, it normally comes with challenge. It's never like the easiest part of your life. So we actually like challenges. Like kids love challenges. And I think the role of parents is actually more to support them through their hurdle rather than like be the one who make them even less confident. And actually, interestingly, I don't think Tiger Mom is all wrong, you know? I think Tiger Mom has a really good principle. It's just normally the method that we use were wrong. I think one thing about Tiger Mom that is so good, I think it's more important to be a Tiger Mom than like a mom that just keep encouraging kids, actually. Reason being, like, Tiger Mom actually have high expectation in the kids and they actually believe in the kids that they could do it. But sometimes they could go a bit extreme. So, like, I think sometimes, like, I think I'm, like, internally will be a Tiger Mom too. I will have very high expectation of my kids. But I think the most important thing is, like, I'll remember having fun and I will try to, like, use every small challenge to build up their confidence. Like, you know, you did this before, so you could do it again.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like we mentioned in the beginning, it's a lot of it is parents think that they are doing the right thing by packing so much into their kids' schedules just so that they have things to do, but they don't know the reason why they're doing it. And maybe the way they encourage them can be a little bit too strong, you know, up front. And then, but on the flip side also, you don't want to be the whole like super encouraging toxic positivity kind of parent, like, yeah, of course, you know, you have to have like find the right balance, but also give the right encouragement as well in order to like boost the children's confidence.
Yeah, I think because Singapore is so competitive and it's very easy to get influenced by other, like parents get influenced too. They were like, oh, everyone's kids is going for tuition. Maybe I should go for tuition too. But sometimes like kids really don't need tuition. Like we have a lot of kids who used to like go to all tuitions, but didn't do very well. And then they managed to like get straight A's without any tuitions. Like I think it's important not to get affected by other parents. And I think one of the things that is like terrible in Asian culture is why can so-and-so do it and you can't? When it's not encouragement, it's actually like quasi-bullying. You're like personally attacking your child. So I think those are the things that parents really should avoid doing.
Comparison is the thief of joy, they always say, right? And then like when you get the results back from your kid's school, from their school report or whatever, and the first question is always, what did your other friends get? Who got the top marks in your class? How come this person can but you cannot?
Yeah.
And it's not helpful. It can be very like demoralizing for children as well. Yeah. So it's definitely all ties back also into mental health for children, right?
Yeah. And not just for children, I think for adults as well, right? I've had a parents who's thinking that they're not trying to harm their children. It's just they also have that mindset. Oh, I'm working this job, I'm making this much. Oh, but that compared to so-and-so, it's like not great. When you compare, you could never be happy because there's someone else who would be better than you in some field. But you are unique as a person, as a whole. So you can't like really just compare. And you shouldn't just compare your kids. I think from not comparing your kids with others, parents would also learn to not compare themselves with other people. And that way, like, they will be a lot happier.
Yeah, it's a great lesson for everybody in the family, both the parents and the children.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's like the perfect wrap up to our conversation. I feel like we've talked about so much. Thanks so much, Christina. I think, you know, you've given us a lot to think about. Also because like in a competitive society, like in Singapore and also elsewhere, now that the world is so globalized and you've got students from everywhere, it's really important to focus on, you know, methods that really work for individuals also so that it can help them just study better, perform better just in overall, both either in studies or in work also. So yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about where our followers can find info on 10X Study, how they can sign their kids up for it, go ahead.
Oh, okay. They can like message us through our Instagram. I think that's the best way. Like we'll have like people responding to you and telling you like what options you have. But actually like at the end, I just really want to add that like people think that if you're good at studying, you're smart, you have high IQ. That is completely not true. Like if you're good at studying, it only means that studying is a skill. Okay. Like if you're good at studying, it only means that you have that skill. It's just like, you know, that person could play basketball, that person could ride a bike. It's just a skill. It's something you could learn. So don't ever make it personal and don't ever think, you know, oh, the other person can do it because they're so smart. You should think of it, like you should step back and think of it. Oh, what method is that person using?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And something that's transferable across all kinds of individuals, no matter where they are in their IQ also, I think that's really helpful. Yeah, so thanks so much. If you guys want to go and find out more about 10X Study, which Dr. Christina has founded, it's an amazing platform where you can sign up for multiple different programs for your students or even for yourself if you fall under the, you know, requirements, that you can actually sign up for like online courses, have tutors at your disposal as well, group study sessions and all that, which are really amazing. So we're gonna have to put this up on our Instagram so you can always come back to our account to watch it again to see our conversation, and also we'll have this as a podcast episode on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and any where you listen to podcasts. So yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Christina. That was a fruitful discussion.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Honey Kids Asia podcast, bringing you the parenting playbook. We hope you found our conversation helpful. Don't forget to catch our upcoming Instagram live sessions, where we'll dive into more important topics with experts and parents of diverse backgrounds. Head to @HoneyKidsAsia on Instagram for updates and to sign up for the countdown to our next live sessions. All the details can be found in the show notes. For more parenting tips and resources, head to honeykidsasia.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.